World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. What day is today? Today's the 9th day of October. How can that be? 2025. The Lord's not making another one. I'm feeling a little bit melancholy here this morning. For those of you who don't know what that word, Spencer, that'd be a good word. Melancholy. Where did that come? I love language. I love words. Melancholy. Where did that come from? You're very melancholy. Who came up with that? M-E-L-A-N. Yeah, a gloom state of mind, often a gloomy state that is of some continuous of habitual depression of spirits induced by grief. Isn't the Holy Spirit something that he can give us this? Dejection of spirits. You know, one thing that I said before we went live, we went live this morning, and again, for those of you who come in here every day, God bless, I appreciate you. I'll get into that here in a second. Some of us we gotta get thicker skin. We gotta get a thicker skin. And one of the themes or one of the things that I say often on this show is you believe what you want to believe, but you better ask yourself this question: who told you that and how do you know it's true? And really that I find out, and I think you guys would probably agree with me. Most of us, I'm talking about me now, I'm talking about me. My theology was so shallow. I just did what the guy in the pulpit told me. I didn't know any other thing. And like I said, when we got born again, Michelle and I got born again, I wrote in my Bible on her January 28th of 1987. I got born again on that. And I just settled into that church. And they taught me their theology. And I thought it was true. I guess I still believe it's true, but, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Charismania and all that kind of stuff and all that right? And a real seminal moment, that means beginning, changing, seminal moment in our lives is when we got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union because it changed my focus from name it, claim it, Jesus wants to bless you, wave all that charismania. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It changed me to that to realize, dude, I'm in a freaking war. And waving flags ain't going to get it done. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Spencer, see if you can. If you can find this, I'll send you $12, okay? Just Google something right now, Spencer, YouTube, and show people in church waving flags. Waving flags. His banner over me is love. Now, I got nothing wrong with people waving flags. I mean, it's okay. But you tell me that's your spiritual warfare? Getting in your church and waving flags. Can you get a video up there, Spencer? Well, I was one of those flag wavers. That's what they told us you're supposed to do. How to wave flags in church. Right? Wave flags is worship. What? No, look, like this girl, I'm not gonna make fun. I'm talking about anyway, I don't want to get caught up in that. Because again, some of you are going to get offended, okay? If waving flags in church works for you, then go wave flags. Go wave flags. See, I think we ought to wave flags and then go into abortion. That's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to end flags, wave flags, and then go reclaim our culture for the cause of Christ. I think we ought to wave flags and then go to schools and make sure they don't teach homosex to our kids. Anybody tracking with me out there, right? And so that's what changed my life when all of a sudden the war came to me. It came to me. And I had to decide, was I going to wave flags or was I going to stand up and push back and fight? And so that really, in a lot of ways, I guess if I could kind of a monologue here, if I could really zero in on what it is, I think Christianity is do faith. Go ye into all the world. The final man, our commander in chief, marching orders. His marching orders is Matthew 8. Is it Matthew 8? Our commander in chief's Matthew chapter. Where is it? Go ye into all the world. Huh? Pull that up there real quick. This is stream of consciousness. Yes, I got somewhere to go. It's not Mark. It's Matthew 5, I think. I think it's Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Little Bible study here this morning, right? And he opened his mouth. Now, let me make this picture for you here, okay? Go back to the beginning, Spence. I think this is really critical when we catch on to this. So Jesus, we talk about at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is, you know, going to give the Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitudes. So Jesus is, remember what he's been doing with his ministry daily, and people always sucking off of him, right? Really. And so he saw the multitude, saw how many people there was, and I'm thinking the Lord says, oh, I got to get away from this. So he went up to a mountain. Well, come on now. Throw away everything you've been taught and all the movies that you've watched. He sees the multitudes, and he goes up into a mountain. He didn't go to the multitudes. He went away from the crowd. And when he was set, when he got there, his disciples came to him. You see, come on, get this picture, right? All these people are down there waiting for Jesus, and he's all like, he's almost overwhelmed. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And so he goes up in the mountain. And when he was set, the disciples came to him. And so there they are. They're his buds. There's his A team sitting around him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them. I'll see if, hey, see how smart y'all are. Who did he teach, folks? Did he teach the multitudes, or did he teach the 12? Who did he teach? Right here in this segment, who did he teach?
Disciples.
He taught his inner circle, his disciples. And if you see, I'm telling you, Spencer, Google real quick. If you look for a picture of the Sermon on the Mount, and you're going to see Jesus Christ standing before a multitude of people preaching to him, and that's not what he did. Do you understand? Look at these pictures. Like he's standing up on a mountain talking to all these people. No. His Sermon on the Mount, he went up to the mountain, and his homeboys came to him because he realized he was overwhelmed. I can't talk to all these people. They can't all hear me. How are we ever going to do this? So they came to him. Who did? The 12. Go back, Spencer. You know what some of you are thinking right now? So, man, I never looked at it this way. This is what's so good about the gospel. So he opened his mouth and he taught them. Who did he teach? Who did he teach?
His 12.
His 12. And he tells them, blessed, you know, we know what the Beatitudes are, right? Blessed are they. Go on down the bottom. Go down, keep on going down, Spencer. Blessed are they. All these blessed are they. And then all of a sudden he changes the pronoun. You. He's talking about all those blessed are they people, and blessed are those people, and blessed are those people. And then he says, you. Makes it personal. Talking to who? Betty, who's he talking to?
His disciples.
The 12 disciples. You, he says to the 12 disciples, are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your savor, how are you going to be salty again? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under for the men. You guys are the light of the world, and the city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me stop you a minute. Can somebody out there explain to me what it means to make disciples? Somebody, come on, open it up. Come on in here. Go and make disciples. What does it mean to make a disciple? Rather than me telling you, you tell me. Wait a minute. What's a disciple? That'd be a good place. What's a disciple? A learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another, a follower, an adherent to the doctrines of another. Hence, the constant attendance of Christ were called his disciples. Why? Because he was training them. Let me ask you something. You got any disciples? Do you have any disciples? Because it says down here it's a verb, a transitive verb, to teach, to train, to bring up, to make disciples, to convert to doctrines or principles. Amazing. So let's go back to Matthew. What's he tell us to do? He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Why? Because you are the salt of the earth. Betty, who's he talking to?
His 12 disciples.
His 12 disciples. He's preparing them to go train the unsaved. That's what we're supposed to be doing. By the way, that's what your church is supposed to be doing. And of all the things that I think we do here, I hope we do this. I hope we do this. Train you to go. Randy, were you gone before you got in here? Dave Allison, were you going before you got in here? Craig, were you going before you got in here? I can run down a list, list. Why? You're the salt of the earth. But if you're a Christian and you aren't salty, you're good for nothing, Jesus said. Good for nothing. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Why do we hide the gospel inside our churches? Why doesn't your pastor take you or send you or go with you? Why is it a come ye rather than a go ye? Neither do men light a candle and put it on their bushel, but on a candlestick. Why? Because it's going to give light unto all that are in the house. Who's he talking to here, Betty? Come on, Betty. Who's he talking to here?
The 12 disciples.
The 12 disciples. He's not talking to all those people. Because why? Jesus is preparing those 12 to go. He says, look, I can't do it all, boys. I can't do it all. See all them folk down there? Your job. You got to go disciple them. You got to go train them, right? Spencer's changing. It's okay. What you got, Spencer? Matthew 16. What do you want me to read there, bud? It doesn't. So you get it, right? What was this promise? Go back to Matthew 5, will you? What's his promise? Folks, until you and I understand that we're at war, they call it wrestling. It's not a sport. Jesus didn't tell us to learn how to wrestle. He said, you're going to be wrestling. You better learn how. Let your light so shine before men they see your good works. What? I thought we're not supposed to have works. They see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. Scroll down, Spence. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. And whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach other men to do so, he'll be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. He's in the kingdom, but it'll be the least. And whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom. Okay, so you get the point? Get the point? Friends, Christianity is a contact sport. It's a contact sport. And we can come in here like a family, and we can bite off a piece of steak and chew on it about the Jews or about Israel. But really, at the end of the day, what does that even matter? What does it even matter? It's like I've used this line before. Watching football film after the game's over, watching a football film, and some guy on the offensive line doesn't know who to block. So the ball snapped, and he didn't block anybody. And I look at the film, and I say, Tim, why didn't you block that? He said, Coach, I wasn't sure who I was supposed to hit. I wasn't sure which man I was supposed to block. Does anybody know the answer I gave Tim? Does anybody know my response? Come on. Anybody out there know what my response was when he said I didn't
hit somebody?
Hit somebody. Right? Hey, Christians, hit somebody. Hit somebody. And too much we've, because we have this, I'm not being critical of pastors, okay? I do enough of that. But for some reason, we've come up with this top-down Christianity. That we always need the approval of somebody in the hierarchy for us to be able to do what it is we know the Lord has called us to do. I can tell you this, if you wanted to start a pro-life ministry, or I'm thinking about Craig and Randy, Dave, all these guys that are doing stuff, Jeff Klein. Folks, where did we ever get to the point where we thought we needed the pastor's approval to do it? If the Lord said, whatever he says unto you, do. That's what Mary, that's what his mother said when about communion. Whatever he says unto you, do it. And friends, if you heard from the pastor, I'm sorry, you've heard from the Lord, and you go to your pastor, you would ask your pastor to bless your work. You don't go to him and ask for permission whether you should do it or not. Now, the scripture also tells us in the multitude of many counselors great wisdom, so you maybe ought to get some advice from somebody else. But if the Holy Spirit has told you to do something, why do you need some pastor's approval? His amen. And why wouldn't any pastor say to some guy who comes to him, who has a vision on his heart to do something, why wouldn't any pastor say, go for it, Craig. I got your back, brother. I can't do it myself. The Lord's called you to do it, Craig. I want you to know that we are behind you. Now ask yourself, is that the response? Is that the response most of us? And the answer is no. Churches and pastors and elders are risk adversive, meaning they don't want to do anything that might harm their image, the fact that people would come to church. They're risk aversive. Christianity is a dangerous sport. I got a great commentary today. Maybe I'll get to it because I've already taken up about 17 minutes. And look, I just want to encourage you from the bottom of my heart, this guy's heart, whatever the Lord says unto you, do. Do it, man. Do it. Because you don't have any idea the impact if the Holy Spirit says something to you and you obey. You don't have any idea the impact that might have. You won't see it right away. But when you speak truth, especially to power, that's when you're most like the Lord. Jesus said about John the Baptist, concerning John, of all those ever born unto a woman, none was better, greater than John the Baptist. And I got thinking, in fact, I wrote about it. I may get to the commentary today, I may not. You guys ponder that a second? Jesus Christ said, of all of those born unto a woman, see if you can find that, Spencer. How many people have been born of a woman? How many people did Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, how many men and women did he rub shoulders with? And John got locked up, not because he told everybody about their best life now, or 10 ways to have $10,000 in 10 days. He didn't do that. The greatest man among them, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman. Hey, how many would that be? Who would that be, born of a woman? Anybody have any idea how many people that would be? There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And why? What was it about John? John spoke truth to power. Cost him his life. Jesus Christ spoke truth to power. It cost him his life. Why would we, if we're a disciple, why would we be any different? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Are your friends those little babies being aborted in the womb? Are your friends those women who are aborting the baby and they're going to live with the guilt the rest of your their lives? Are your friends the people in public schools whose children are being reared in, rolled in, whatever, into homosexuality, transgenderism? Are those your friends? Greater love is no man than this. He'd lay down his life for those folks. He'd go publicly and stand up and speak and be the salt of the earth, be hated of all men. Folks, that's what the gospel teaches you. It doesn't teach you that all men are going to love you. In fact, it says be careful when all men speak good of you. I don't know how I got on this today, but I'm on it. And this popped up in my spirit, man, today. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. You hear and obey. You hear and obey. And you hear something in your inner man, in your spirit. And then you got to stop a minute. The Bible says, take captive every thought. Say, whoops, my phone. Say, Lord, wow. Is that you, Lord? Huh. Was that you, Lord? And say, yeah, it was. Yeah, that was me. Yeah, that's me. So you heard it, didn't you? So will you obey it? Because to obey is better than to sacrifice. And the truth is, sometimes when you obey, there's a sacrifice involved. When you stand and you speak the truth to power, to spirits, to spiritual forces, to people in high places. Are you kidding me? Hey, Spencer, real quick, pull up the picture. Pull up the email that just says Ray. Ray LeBlanc sent me this yesterday. I don't know where he got it. Look at this. This is January 6th. There's Ray LeBlanc, Mike Heath, Ray LeBlanc again, Coach Dave. And then look at the bottom of this. On January 6th, LeBlanc, I don't know where, this is an FBI report or something, folks. On January 6th, LeBlanc went with Dobbenmeyer's group to the Ellipse, then walked to the Capitol following President Trump's speech. LeBlanc is also known by the hashtag insider. I don't know what that means, which notes that he entered the Capitol bill. Oh, insider 2845. See, this is the government identifying Ray LeBlanc, which notes that he entered the Capitol building. And video confirms that. It appears he was filming the crowd inside the Capitol. LeBlanc has not been arrested. LeBlanc is the leader of the Wisconsin chapter of the Salt and Light Brigade. Don't you feel good knowing that the enemy's looking, watching you like that? LeBlanc credits both Doug Hagman and Dave Dobbenmeyer's inspirations for his involvement. LeBlanc frequently protested abortion clinics and school board meetings. LeBlanc has mentioned Jeff Klein as an example of a school board activist. Folks, do you understand that this is the enemy, the government, the Luciferian government, building a dossier on Ray LeBlanc and me? Only by the grace of God were we not rounded up. I never went inside the building. LeBlanc seems to have an organizing leadership role within Dobbenmeyer's network. In the July 14, 2021 episode of Wisconsin Christian News, LeBlanc discussed with Mike, can you scroll down? No, that ends it. Okay. So they had a dossier on Ray LeBlanc and me and you. Well, they're going to scare me back into my cave, back into my church where I'm going to wave flags and dance around and act like I'm serving the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. I'm just telling the truth. How many of you out there would rather have your wife tell you she loves you or show you she loves you? Michelle says it to me all the time. That you don't understand my love language, Michelle will say to me. I said, what's your love language? She says, washing dishes. So I stand over in there, tell her how much I love her all the time that she's doing the dishes. Or I can go do the dishes. Yeah. We watch Jesus do the dishes. Tell him how much we love him. So I want to play this. I'm going to open it up, or I'll get you in just a second, right? This came to me this morning. This is one of those, I heard his voice. You guys remember that song, We May Never Pass This Way Again? Seals and Crofts. We may never pass this way again. We may never. See if you can find that, Spencer. Seals and Crofts. We may never pass this way again. I'm melancholy. I came back to being melancholy. I'm 72 years old. My granddaughter's a teenager. What? Look up Seals and Crofts. Hey, thanks, Paul. I don't feel that age, right? I don't feel that age. Spencer said, I never heard of that song. We may never pass this way again. Seals and Crofts. There it is. We may never. Go and play that. Hang on. This is us, folks. This is your walk with Christ right here.
Life, so they say, is but a game and they let it slip away. Love, like the autumn sun, should be dying, but it's only just begun. Like the twilight in the road up ahead, they don't see just where we're going. All the secrets in the universe whisper in our ears. All the years come and go, take us. Say, for the fools, and then let them drift away. Peace, like the silent dove, should be flying, but it's only just begun. Like Columbus in the olden days, we must gather all our courage. Sail our ships out on the open sea. Cast away our fears, and all the years will come and go. Take us.
Not that. You get it. Yeah. You never get it. We get today, man. We have today. And think of the great job, Spencer. I'll have to send you $10 on that one. The opportunities that we miss. Opportunities we miss. And I just want to acknowledge that a lot of you out there, I mean, you're really hammering it. You're really putting it down, man. You really are. And sometimes you think, doesn't anybody notice what I'm doing? Coach doesn't talk about what I'm doing. Well, you're not doing it for me. I would like to acknowledge it, but you're doing it for Not my applause. You're doing it for the applause of two nail-scarred hands. But you are, wherever you are, you have the opportunity to advance a kingdom, make a difference in the lives of people you don't even know. Why won't we do it? Why aren't we challenged to do it? And Yang, my wife, she said to me after the show yesterday, she said, when are you guys going to get back to doing instead of talking? That'd be a boom, Chad. When are you guys going to get back to doing instead of talking? By the way, that's what the jab and all that stuff, that's what that was all about. To shove us back into the closet. Scare us back inside the closet. Afraid to come out. When now is the most critical time, probably in the history of my life, probably in the history of maybe, possibly the United States of America, right now, the most critical time any of us have ever lived. And for the most part, we're still hiding. And I don't have a solution. I don't know the answer. But I know that sitting in a church and waving flags and feeling good, praising the Lord in church, doesn't advance the ball very much. And that's where a lot of us are. See, look, I won't go down swinging. I'm 72. I could retire, sit back, prop up my feet, enjoy me. 10 and a half grandchildren, 11 ones coming, maybe today, probably not today, but this week, we're going to have a new baby here by Friday. Be praying for little Gemma, if you will. And I could turn it over to, I'll let Craig Nickel be the new Coach Dave, and I'm going to go ride up on a hill. I'd rather die. I'd rather die. So I guess this isn't about me, it's about you. Come out of your cocoon. Quit being afraid. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. See, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And see, the gospel is powerless if you're ashamed of it. Afraid to speak it for fear what somebody might say. Remember, of all of those born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist, because he went to the king and called the king's wife a slut. And what did Jesus say? That's my boy. Wow. That's my boy. John was the forerunner, didn't he? John was the forerunner. He went to power and spoke the truth, and it cost him his life. And then his cousin went to power, spoke the truth, and it cost him his life. And the scriptures tell us that if you want to be like him, greater love has no man than this. You speak the truth, no matter what the consequences are. It might cost you your life. All right, I'm done. I'm not nearly finished. I think Jeff had his hand up first. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, what Michelle said of less talking and more doing.
Yep.
We'll be doing this Sunday, Shockton County Square, Public Square at the gazebo, Sunday afternoon, 2 to 6, 4 hours. So the people after church, they have no excuse. They can come out and get involved with that. But Pastor Bill said we're going to even set up a baptismal and then just be sharing the gospel. More emphasis on glorifying Christ than Charlie. It's going to be both, but JR's coming. He's going to speak. Maybe JR's coming to Mount Vernon. I don't know which, but he's got different speakers coming. So Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock in Coshocton on the public square.
All right, man, do it. Don Davidson, come on in here, Don. What is it about your book, Don? That's the answer to all of these problems that we have. You keep putting in the chat. I'm not angry. It's in there again. I have the answer. It's in your book. Your book's going to help us give us the answer here, Don. I'm looking for answers. I know this, whatever you get, whatever it is, you got to do something. Craig, come on in.
Well, you know, that that's pretty powerful about reading about Ray and January 6th. But, Coach, I want to take you back 24 days before January 6th. Because we invited the Lord into the battle. Because we were there on December 12th. Past Assault Ministry group. I don't remember even how many people we had that day. But for some reason, God put in your path these things called the DC boundary stones.
Yep.
Isn't that kind of marking the city, you think? You talked about yesterday, you know, about this District of Columbia, right?
Yeah. That's not a state. It's its own entity.
Right. And what did we go do? We went to the north, south, east, and west. And we proclaimed Christ over that city. And then 24 days later was January 6th. Now, we don't know what the battle is going to look like. And we're going to walk through it. But I'm going to say we anointed the battle on December 12th in 2020 against the District of Columbia. And when you ask why Ray or you didn't end up in jail, like the other January 6ers?
Wow, yeah.
Well, maybe.
We broke God that
said,
power, huh?
God said, don't touch my anointed, because I think Ray was there. I don't know if Ray was there on December 12th. I don't know if he came down that day or not. What I was just sitting there saying is that he said, don't touch my anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't mean the anointed don't have the storm, because it's a heck of a storm. You know, the storm's still going on. Okay.
It sure is, bro. It's still going on. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So what I'm saying is yeah, we went out. Okay, and this, and I, if you can, I want you to read something here, because the Lord brought me to this verse, which I think, really, when you're talking about your grandchild coming, I think reading 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, because it talks about Hannah, he took me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and if you'd read the first 11 verses, this is what God's really put on my heart, okay, and it's not my heart for me. It's, we need to go just like we did to DC, and you need to get your local city. You need to pray over your local city like we prayed over those boundary stones.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we did to 31 Rocks, we need to go and we need to pray at churches, because we need the churches to hear the Holy Spirit. And if they're not hearing the Holy Spirit, we need to come against that principality or spirit that's over that particular church so that we can be in one accord, so that the Lord will be glorified in us being in one accord and operating as Christ would have us to do, right? That's my heart in this whole thing. I don't care who's right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. To me, it doesn't matter. I just want to be doing what God would want us to do. So, you know, this rock placing at churches ties into what we started at the boundary stones.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got to take it to the different cities, right? And fight against those local little principalities, just as we were fighting against that big principality that hangs over that District of Columbia. And you know what's really cool, Coach? This is the goodness and the glory of the Lord. Dave and Sherry Allison are going to drive down here. They're going to be at my house. And we're going to go sit on the DC Mall this Saturday and a 1 mile long communion table. And we're going to be looking at the Washington Monument, and we're going to be looking at the womb of the Capitol. And we're going to claim Jesus Christ is King of this city.
Mm-hmm. That might be worth a road trip. I didn't know anything about that.
Well, I said something on the show a week ago or so.
Yeah, you say a lot of stuff on the show. I don't, that one didn't register. That one didn't register.
So if you could go and just read the first 11 verses of Hannah's prayer, and we're going to pray this over your grandchild too, right? Because what Hannah did, she dedicated Samuel. I mean, he's one of the first prophet. I mean, he's the man. So we want to also be in a prayer for your family.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking for something right here, real quick. Somebody come in here. I'm looking for something here on YouTube. Come on.
Yeah, Coach. I'll always come in. I try to be quiet so other people come
Randy,
in.
Randy, hang on a minute, if you will. Just a second.
But I got something.
Okay, hang on just a second, okay? How many of you, and I would say that I love you all, but I don't know a lot of you. How many of you watching this show, part of this show, whatever you would call this show, every day, and still haven't done anything? Still haven't done anything. And why would that be? Fear? God's not giving you a spirit of fear, the power, love of a sound mind. Nobody to go with? Well, find somebody to go with. What do you mean?
Amen, Coach.
You got to wait on your pastor? You got to get the elders of the church to tell you it's okay to do that? Come on, man. Engage. Activate. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, power, love, a sound mind. Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
You know, maybe some of you is waiting on a confirmation. Maybe there's something in your heart moving and you're whatever, fearful. Maybe that is true, Coach. But when you have the Holy Spirit give you an unction to do something.
Yes, sir.
When you do it, you know you did something with God. You know you did something participated with him in an operation. And there's nothing like that, Coach. There's words can't describe the gratification in the spirit that you get. And you feel like you've tapped into what your purpose was for being on earth. You know, I don't know how to describe that any better, but Coach, what I was going to bring in and kind of in cahoots with Craig is when you understand on the earth, Coach, and Job, he talks about the womb when the water issued from the matrix of the earth, the womb of the earth, the matrix of the earth. There, God made this male and female thing, Coach. He made the man with the way he did, and he made the woman the way he did to create, to produce, to bring forth life. And when you understand that the earth is the planet that he created to bring forth life on. Well, what's happened in ancient times, Coach, all these, the Nephilim, and even maybe before Adam, we don't know, doesn't matter. But there was people here who were evil. And they took these gates, they took these places, these special places, maybe you can say, around the earth, not just in Jerusalem, not just in Israel, but all over the earth. They're all over the United States, Coach. And what has happened is, just like the Nephilim there at the mounds there, they created a opening in those mounds. That was the womb. That was the place where they could take their gods and penetrate them and create and bring life for them. They went around God to try to have other gods. That's why one of the commandments, he said, have no other gods before me, because man wants to put gods before God, the real God. So what we're doing, Coach, right now, we're finding these places where there's a womb, there's an opening in the earth, and man and evil is trying to place their seed into it.
Yes.
As a man, just like a man and a woman, think about the sexual relationship. They're trying to place their seed and their little god into that.
Well said.
So yes. What we're doing here, Coach, we discover these little places. The mounds are they're covering up those places. Okay, all these UNESCO sites, when they make them that, they know that's a gate, and they're stopping us, the changers, the God people, from changing it back to righteous. And so when we find these gates, D.C. is probably a gate, Coach. If we just knew everything from the history, we would know it's probably a major gate.
Sure.
Well,
is.
When we go there and we speak God's word and we take his glory and his atmosphere, which we call the kingdom of God, we nullify the gate, Coach. We cast down all the evil of the past and we bring in Psalm 89:14. We bring his throne in there, the righteousness and justice, and it changes it. And when we believe that, Coach, and we get to be part of that.
I believe that.
Oh, my goodness. Coach, I'd be gone every day if I could, but I have a life and I have a family, just like, and we could go all day, every day, every time the Holy Spirit prompts someone, prompts Dave up there in Michigan, and he says, "I found the gate. Let's go change it. Let's get in the car. Let's go do it. Let's go change that. Oh, shut that
Randy,
gate."
Randy,
that's why, God, let me finish, Coach, with this one thing. I know I've been a long time, but this is why Jesus stood on the gates of hell, and he said, "My church will prevail against the gates of hell."
Mm.
You understand? He understood the earth. We have to see the gates and go shut them down, Coach. We can, and we have the authority. We can do it.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Dr. Paul.
Well, they take you out of circulation, Coach.
Yeah.
You know,
they try to. That's right.
You know, they jail you. Betrayal's real common these days. I'm sure John the Baptist and Rhodes and all those field, all of you guys, a lot of you guys betrayed by many of your family members. But, I refuse to give up. They didn't teach me how to take care of people when I was in med school, Coach. That is something that was inherent. It's something I wanted to do. It made me feel good. It doesn't make me a better man because I'm good at it. It's what I want to do.
Sure.
In a selfish way, it gives me a lot of, just like you, Coach. And so all we can keep doing, all we do is just keep telling the truth.
Amen.
There are good things happen now. Look what's going on with medicine, Coach. Kennedy's bringing it out there. We're talking about over-the-counter Tylenol. We have the generic abortion pill. Okay, that's coming out. That means you're going to buy it, over the counter. It's going to be mailed to you. They're trying to, we're trying to cut back on baby murders, right? But who do you think does the transgender surgeries, Coach? That's Planned Parenthood. Did you know that, Coach?
Yeah.
That's their little game now. They're doing everything against the seed of man. It's absolutely in our faces. As gold rises, we go into bankruptcy. It has to happen, Coach. I'm excited about it, Coach.
Man, I do, man. I am too. My goodness. And at the end of the day,
We don't need COVID 2.0. We got everything 2.0 right now.
Yeah, so we don't need that for sure.
I wouldn't lose. I feel like people lose hope. Amen. But I moved all my medical equipment into a Baptist church. Right? That's where I store it. People come and see me. I don't get paid. I don't care. But you're not going to tell me I can't take care of people.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, government certification. Boy, that's a laugh, isn't it? I'm government certified. Oh, geez. See you later. Wow. Jeff Nell, come on in. Welcome back, Jeff. Jeff had a stroke. Welcome
back, Jeff. I have one, a big one. God's plan. I've asked God, what is his plan for me since I've had this incident? And he's exposed a lot to me to understand what is going on from everything, pretty much. It's hard for me to talk about God. But John 15:16 is sticking out the most right now. And it talks about, you are persecuted for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to give it to the police, well, the second command. You really read a little bit of 15.
You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you.
Wow. Yeah. Turning point to us.
And bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain.
Right.
Now, whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
It is exposed a lot. I'm like, wow. And it changed my life. And I'm not all there yet, but I'm getting there. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, the Bible says that we're peculiar people, and you're one of them. You're peculiar, Jeff. They don't know what to do with you. You ain't the everyday run of the mill, sit in the pew, wave a flag, I love Jesus guy. You're peculiar. It's a good thing, brother. That's a good thing. It's good to see you. Good to see you bouncing back. Craig, then Dave. By the way, we'd love to hear new people. If you're in here every day and you never open your mouth, I talked to Tim Tuber yesterday. Had a good conversation with Tim yesterday out in Oregon. We'd love to hear from you. Come on in. Come on in. Dave Allison, go. I don't remember who I called in. Dave Allison, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Coach. Hey, it's good to see you, Jeff. Coach, back to the discipleship thing. When you were talking about that, it got me thinking. And, you know, we've been discipled in a lot of different things in our life, right? Remember when we were going to start driving a car, we had to go to discipleship. A guy had to show us how to drive a car. Then one time I went and I learned I was discipled in how to fly an airplane. What's interesting is when I was getting discipled in how to operate a laptop, I was kind of paying attention, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'll get this. But when I was being discipled how to fly an airplane, my attention level was so much higher because I knew one critical mistake.
That's right, buddy.
It cost me my life. So my question to myself and the rest of us is, why don't we take our discipleship with Christ that seriously? Some critical mistakes could cost us our life. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, not Dave, not only our lives, the lives of others. The lives of others. Hey, amen. Spencer, pull up a bottom one, churchgoers. Hey, friends, are you looking at me? I mean, that's crazy. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. I love it. But I'm trying to coach it. What does my shirt say? Truth sounds like hate. When I say, listen, dude, pastor, dude, you're dropping the ball. Come on, man. You're dropping the ball. I don't hate you. Coaching you. Feels like hate. Sounds like hate. But it's conviction, not condemnation. Scripture says there's now, therefore, no condemnation. But conviction, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, baby. When you get convicted, when my wife says to me, my love language is washing the dishes, I get convicted. Not condemned. Go ahead and play this. God's chosen ones never go to church. I love this. Go ahead.
God's chosen ones never go to church. And before you gasp, before you judge, you better ask yourself what church you're even talking about. Because if you think God's elect are defined by pews, programs, and potlucks, you've already missed the gospel. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to make you feel better about your lukewarm walk. I'm here to tell you the truth. Some of you are more faithful to your Sunday schedule than you are to Christ. And hell will be filled with churchgoers who thought attendance was obedience. Do you honestly believe that going to church once or twice a week somehow makes you right with God? Do you really think the Almighty looks down from his throne and is impressed that you put on a suit, walked into a building, and sang three songs before checking your phone during the sermon? Let me tell you something that will shatter every shallow assumption you've been clinging to. God is not fooled by your routine. God is not mocked by your ritual. And God is not glorified by your attendance. He demands your obedience. We are living in an age of religious deception where millions have been inoculated against the true gospel by watered-down sermons, emotional music, and the lie that going to church equals knowing Christ. You sit in a pew. You nod at the sermon. You close your eyes during the prayer. But you leave unchanged. Why? Because your heart is still dead in sin. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're a fan of religious culture. The Pharisees went to synagogue. They tithed. They fasted. They knew the scriptures better than most pastors today. And yet Jesus said to them, "You are of your father the devil." Why? Because their hearts were unrepentant. They loved the appearance of holiness, not the reality of it. They clung to the structure but rejected the spirit. They worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. Sound familiar? It is a terrifying truth that many of you have more confidence in your weekly attendance than in the finished work of Christ. You think that showing up on Sunday makes up for the rest of the week you spend in compromise. You believe that because your name is on a church roll, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are trusting in your religion, not in the Redeemer. And that trust will damn you. Let me say it plainly. The true Christian life is not 1 hour on a Sunday. It is a complete surrender of every part of your being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is the daily crucifixion of self. It is holiness in secret, not performance in public. It is not about what you do in a building. It's about who you are when no one is watching. Amen.
Put that in the chat.
Boom.
Amen. We're running short on time here. Somebody want to come in? Somebody want to wrap us up here? Hey, folks, look, I'm trying to help all of us go to the next level with our Christianity. We're lukewarm. We are so friggin' lukewarm. We don't love the things the Lord loves, and we don't hate the things the Lord hates. We don't. The sooner we admit that, the sooner we can make a correction. When my wife tells me, honey, your pants are getting too tight, I take the hint. It's time to lose some weight. Conviction's a good thing. There's no condemnation, but conviction. Yeah. Johnny, come on in quickly. Got a couple minutes here, and then Betty.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm so grateful to be able to come into the huddle every morning and get up out of bed and put on the armor of God.
Yes, sir.
And wake up with the sun and come in here and get filled with the Spirit, fill that cup up, and get prepared for the day.
Amen.
And then once that cup is full and we sharpen each other's iron, and we go out into the world, as each of us will do after the show, and we will put our hands and feet out there and do what God has us do.
Amen,
that's what
Johnny.
I'm grateful for. Thanks, amen. Everybody.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Spencer, real quick, we only got a couple minutes left. I want to end with Garth. It says, Garth, I want to end with this. Put it at 1.5 speed.
Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams, so I turn out the lights and lay there in the dark. And the thought crosses my mind, if I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart? If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth were through, she must face this world without me. Is the love I gave gonna be enough to last if tomorrow never comes? Cause I've lost loved ones in my life who never knew how much I loved them. Now I live with the regret that my true feelings for them never were real. So I made a promise to myself to say today how much she means. Avoid that circumstance where there's no second chance to tell her how I feel. Cause if tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth were through, she must face this world without me. Is the love I gave in the past gonna be enough to last if tomorrow never comes?
That's good enough.
So tell that someone that you love just what you're thinking of, if tomorrow never comes.
Wow. See you tomorrow.